98 FM's Now That's What I Call Sport podcast.
Now, we hoped to bring you our chat with James McLean last weekend, but we had some audio issues, so here it is now. And James speaking to Off The Ball's Nathan Murphy.
I know you're a bit of a home bird and you get back to Derry as much as possible. Is that the plan post-football, to come back home?
It was always the plan. Like, that hasn't changed. The plan was to always finish, you know, I started there, I said. I'm a Derry boy, love the club. The plan was always to finish at Derry, so that's still the plan, if they have me, obviously. But
What sort of time frame are you putting on that? Is that, because clearly your fitness should be you can go on well into your 30s, but do you want to be there in the next 2-3 years when you're still almost at your peak?
Probably not in the next 2 or 3 years, because, you know, I've always had an interest in playing abroad. Like, I've always been fascinated, like, kind of the American way of life, so, like, loving that. So that was always the plan, to live in America and experience that. So if I can kill two birds with one stone by, you know, going to America, play a year or two there, experience the lifestyle there, come back and, you know, hopefully have still something in the legs to play a year or two or hopefully more at Derry, and then, you know, that would be the ideal plan.
There's obviously a huge couple of months coming up for the Republic of Ireland and the game against Slovakia. First up, it's a huge game for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. Obviously, qualifying for your 2020 games in Dublin, but also from an FAI point of view now, with everything that's gone on, the amount of money that's at stake. Mm-hmm. And it's a terrible position for players to be in. And I know quite often players that are very good at blanking things out, but it does feel that there are a lot of people's jobs at stake by the result of this game. Like, do you let that in as a group? Can you let that in? Or do you just need to go?
No, I don't think you can. Like, you're talking about pressure, and it's obviously not nice, the situation, you know, because they've been quite honest. They've made a complete balls up, haven't they? So I don't know the ins and outs, but I just know it was a complete balls up of the job that was done. But, you know, look, we have a chance here to qualify for European Championships. Two games being held in Aviva. Like, that's enough pressure in itself, and good pressure. Like, it's exciting. So if you get kind of caught up in the other stuff, like, we as players have no control over that. Like, we, you know, it wasn't us made the mistakes. We can only do what we can do on the pitch. So, no, but I would say, of course, you don't want people losing their jobs, but in the same sense, like, that's all the motivation and pressure itself in terms of qualifying for a major championships.
You probably are more aware, I guess, than most of the players in the squad of what has gone on, though, in terms of you're still very well connected with Irish football. You hope to come back, and you've seen the way the League of Ireland has been treated over the last 10-15 years.
Yeah, that's something that doesn't sit well, because, like, the League of Ireland's, like, it gave me my education in the game, don't I mean? I absolutely love playing the League of Ireland Friday nights under the floodlights at the Brandy. Well, like, it's absolutely amazing, doing a mainstand. Not that. A thriving League of Ireland is good for everybody, you know. I've seen talk about an All-Ireland League. Like, me personally, I'd be a big fan for that, because, you know, it's good to have a league where it would be, you're going to have 20, 22 teams rather than two separate leagues of 10 and 12. It's just, it'll bring out more extra excitement, you know, better crowds, more gate receipts. I just think there's a lot more revenue, and I think, like I said, a thriving League of Ireland benefits the national team, benefits its people's, you know, people work all week on a Friday and they look forward to the game on a Friday night, and it's just they're kind of released at the end of the week, and it's obviously players' livelihoods too. So it'd be an absolute shame that if the League of Ireland suffered, and which it has been, hopefully now the new people in charge, they can be resolved, and, you know, the league can get much added financial gain from it.
And in terms of what happens next for Irish football, and Mick McCarthy leaving and Stephen Kenny coming in, Stephen Kenny, give your debut up in Derry?
He did. Stephen's unbelievable. Like, I've managed to work under Stephen for 3 years. And
because there were questions at the time as to Stephen's experience levels and how he could command a dressing room. Like, you're in that dressing room. How he could command a dressing room with players.
Let me stop you there. Stephen can command the dressing room. Stephen's nobody's fault.
Are the and it's the wrong term, the English-born players in the Ireland squad, are they aware of Stephen Kenny?
Probably not, no. Probably not. I think they might be a bit more aware considering the job he's doing now and that he's going to be taking over. So, no, but don't get me wrong. Like, Stephen's no pushover. Like, Stephen, you're not allowed to happen. He's been absolutely brilliant for my career. I've seen him day-to-day basis and how he works, and, you know, I can only say great things. I've always kept in touch with Stephen as well over the years. So, yeah, it's a strange situation the way it is, because Mick's obviously a brilliant manager as well, you know. But I guess you'd say the kind of perfect scenario would be we qualify for the Euros, Mick gets the lead the team out at the Aviva in the European Championships. I think he deserves that. It'd be a fitting reward for what he's given the Irish football as a player and as a manager. I think that would be the perfect send off, and then, you know, Stephen's coming in on a high, and, you know, that can only be a positive thing, really.
So the plan is to eventually go back to Derry.
Mm-hmm.
10 years' time, what's James McLean doing? Are you still in football? Are you coaching? Management?
I hope I'm still playing. I hope I'm still fit enough to play before the end, so...
I'm not going to doubt you. if you're just hitting personal bests at the weekend...
Yeah, well, you know, touch wood, like, stay injury free, and hopefully I'm still involved playing. But if I'm not playing, like, I'm doing my badges in the summer, so that'd be nice to have. But, you know, I might want to be a coach or a manager in the future, or be involved in the game, or I might just say, well, for 40 years or what, football's been great to me, and I've had a great time, and I might just say, you know what, I'm going to leave it at that, and I might just swan off on the sunset or on the obscurity and just live a nice peaceful life.
You don't seem to believe that that's going to happen.
Maybe not now, but we'll see.
So hopefully a few more big days to come at the Aviva before the end of this season. And you were down there today then, launching this new hub with Aviva, the new sensory hub. It's going to be accessible to all fans with sensory issues such as ADHD, dyspraxia, autism. You got a chance to look around, see them. You had your young daughter over with you as well.
I had Will over. She's my youngest. She's autistic, so I had the family over today. I got a call last week saying, look, we're opening a sensory hub here in the Aviva, and obviously the way Willow was, would you like to come and open it? And yeah, look, it was an easy yes. Obviously,
what age is Willow?
She's two. So she was 2 in August there. So
she was diagnosed very early?
No, she hasn't been officially diagnosed. Okay. She's seen all her health visitors and that, so she gets officially diagnosed on what stage or how severe it is. She's got the next month or two, she's seeing the specialists about that, so they will be able to tell us then the full extent of her, of where she's at. Mm. But
is that a big stress as a dad?
Oh, it's not a big stress. It's definitely a challenge. It's been a challenge for me and my wife. Like, I didn't know much about autism, to be honest. My nephew as well he's autistic. He's 7. But up until then, like, I didn't have really, you know, didn't know much about it. So, especially, you know, my nephew's obviously back home in Derry, and I've been over here, so I don't see how it is on a day-to-day basis. So, with Willow now, I'm learning and experiencing on a daily basis of what it's like. And as she's getting older, she seems to be getting more, things are more of a challenge for us. So, no, but like this thing today, like...
Has she been to a game yet?
She beats the loads of games, okay. But she hasn't been to many Ireland games because, you know, it's difficult for, like, she gets... They bring her on an airplane, she gets so worked up because she's out of her comfort zone, she's in a crowded space, people she doesn't see on a day-to-day basis, and, you know, she gets very worked up. In a privileged position where I'm able to get a box for the Ireland games and for the Stoke home games, where we'll be able to sit inside behind the glass away from the noise, but my wife and children get to watch the games as well. But no, like, this sensory thing today, like, not just for Wallow, but for adults who have it and our children and parents who are dealing with, you know, children with autism and the other, what you just mentioned there, it's a great thing they have, because you know, when they get so worked up, like we're able to put in a sensory room at home now for Willow, and when she gets so worked up and she, and then, but the difference in her mood from when she's so worked up, they take her into the sensory room, it just seems to calm her so much, and she, like that'll set her mood for the rest of the day, and where like before she goes into the sensory room until afterwards, it's night and day, and it's just it helps her so much. So it's absolutely a great thing what the Aviva's doing and putting it in, and hopefully people who struggle coming to games because of you know, autism and things like that, and hopefully it'll make things a lot easier now for her.
Yeah, obviously it's very much in the news today as well. I'm sure you're probably made aware of that there was some pretty insensitive comments made about autism by one of the politicians earlier today.
I don't know what was said. I just know that there was something that didn't go down well, so I don't really know what.
But you probably touched on one of the issues there. Like, you're in a, understand that you're in a very privileged position and you can provide all these things for your daughter, and you can see firsthand what a difference it makes. And unfortunately, there's very few people who
get
that opportunity.
You know, it just makes you... I appreciate the position I'm in because we're able to, and sometimes you probably don't think about, you know, people probably don't have those luxuries, and, you know, it makes you wonder, like, it must be, you know, so difficult, because it's difficult for us, and then, but we're able to, we're in a privileged position where we can put a sensory room in our home for a Willow, because it's not cheap. So it makes you wonder, like, what they're going through on a day-to-day basis. So just things like having that now, it's just a release for them as they come to games, and it's not like it's there, so they don't have to pay for it, and it's, you know, they get the full use of it, and you know, I think there should be more, well, it'd be nice if there was more kind of free public kind of rooms or places where they can go, and
yeah, because I know there's a lot of supermarkets and shopping centres now are doing evenings where the lights are turned down and the music is turned off just to make it a calmer environment, but it certainly feels as though we have a long way to go.
Yeah, that's because, look, that'd be absolutely brilliant if that was the case, because I can tell you firsthand, going shopping with Willow, like, it's a struggle, like, because, you know, she's seeing people she doesn't recognise, she's out of her routine, she's seeing crowds, and you can see her wee body getting so tense, and it's so, like, she gets so worked up, and, you know, we can't kind of control that, do you know what I mean? And you see people staring, and I've probably been guilty in the past, because I down to kind of just not knowing and kind of ignorance, where you see a child kicking off and kicking and screaming, and
you're looking at the parents
around the front on the floor. You do seem to stare, and you probably judge, but now, like, seeing it yourself and experiencing it, like, you have such a better understanding when you see this. You don't judge, because you know what they're going through, and I think a lot of people judge without knowing. So yeah, I do definitely have experienced you know, the having Willow out and about in public, and how stressful and how challenging it can be for her and for us.
You seem to have an incredible ability to take things in your stride.
Yeah, was
that always there?
Yeah, I think so. I think that comes from your kind of upbringing. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people, to be honest, I have a great knack of taking things in their stride. I don't know if that was kind of just bred in this or what, but no. Look, the way I see it, there's always someone else worse off in your life. So, you know, you can sit and whine all day about your problems and whatnot. Like, I fully understand that I'm in a very privileged position, do you know what I mean? And it's something that I don't take for granted. And I know there's people a lot less fortunate than me. So, yeah, I can sit all day and whine about my problems. But, look, Willow's healthy. She's a happy baby. You know, we're able to give her the best life we can and provide for her. So, no, it's just because she's of autism doesn't mean she's in it. We love her any less, or we treat her any different from my other two children. 98 FM's.
Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9, only on 98 FM.